Father God, I covet the prayers that Paul wanted to have his friends pray for him, that this morning I could pray, I could just share about you, but that I might do so clearly and by your power. Lord, I admitted this morning that without your presence manifesting himself, all this would be as a concert and a speech. But by your power, will you make this so much more? Give us your very presence. I keep asking that you would give us a spirit of wisdom, which is a little bit different than knowledge. We can have knowledge, but we got to know what to do with it. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, those things that have been hidden from our sight, I pray that you will unveil this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you better. What an awesome privilege that you've made a way for us to come confidently and freely to know you better. Amen. God is good. All the time. In your notes at the top of your page, I just want you to read something with me. We will be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and so I would encourage you to turn to Ephesians 3. If you forgot your Bible this morning, it is on, I thought I had written it down here. Somebody can yell out, I think it's 1820, but somebody yell, yeah, it is, 1820, page 1820 in your pew Bibles. I want to encourage you to bring your own Bible because as I was growing up, I would write notes down when my pastor John was preaching. I would write notes down and date it, and I can still go back to those notes as I'm reading that. And so I really do want to encourage you to bring your own Bibles so that you can be going through Ephesians together with us. At the top of your page, let's read this together. God reveals himself to us and chooses to reveal himself through us. And so that's really where we're going this morning, that God has chosen to reveal himself to us. He has chosen to reveal himself through us. And this is Ephesians is one of the four letters that Paul wrote from prison in Rome. You've got it listed in your notes, but the four are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And, you know, Paul was willing to go to any lengths to reach people for Jesus Christ, and it didn't matter. I mean, there were people along the way, if you have ever read in the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church, it's God acting in his people, God acting and doing and working through his people in order to touch people's lives. But it was during those latter chapters that we hear Paul and people saying to him time and time again, Paul, you will be arrested if you continue to head to Jerusalem. And so on some trumped up charges, Paul was arrested. He was often beaten. There were shipwrecks. He was homeless, sometimes without enough clothing, sometimes without enough food to eat, but it didn't matter to him. He found joy in revealing God to those around him. And so verses 1 and 13 in chapter 3 highlight where Paul is. He tells them in verse 1 that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus for their sake. And then in verse 13, to not be discouraged because of my sufferings, which are for you. They are your glory. And, you know, I don't know about you, but and I don't know if you've spent any time in prison before, but, you know, I would imagine that somebody in prison, they might express to you some unhappiness and displeasure about being in prison. They may have this sense of being discontented. And yet Paul, in one of his prison epistles, he says to the Philippians, he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and all circumstances, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then, and you probably know this next line, I can do through Christ who gives me strength. Yep. For Paul, no matter what he was going through, whether things were going well or things were going bad, it just seemed like he just had this attitude because of what God was doing in him. It's like, hey, God's got this. He's got this. And maybe you've been through trials before, and you felt like giving up, but you instead held on to him, and he brought you through those, and you go, wow, God really did have me in his grip. God's got this. You know, you might expect a prisoner to pray, Lord, will you please get me out of this prison so I can serve you? And yet Paul knew that God reveals himself to us and through us no matter where we are. In fact, it was in that prison that Paul reached a number of people, but there's one man by name of Onesimus. And it's in one of those four letters that he wrote in prison was to Onesimus's master, because Onesimus was a slave. And he wrote a personal letter to Philemon. And so, verse 1, Paul calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He'd say the same thing in chapter 4 where he calls himself a prisoner for the Lord. He would tell Timothy in a letter to him, and remember that Timothy was a young man who became the pastor, the lead pastor in Ephesus. But he told him, he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. And you see, he's not a prisoner of the Roman government, and he's not a prisoner of Jewish authorities. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ himself. Christ has him captured. He's been arrested by something else. There's a bigger purpose and plan that he realizes he is captured by. He would say later in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, I am an ambassador in chains. And he told the Philippians, he says, I am in chains for defending and confirming the gospel. In fact, he would go on to say in that letter that I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. This is incredible. People would think that my imprisonment would somehow chain or hold back the message of Jesus Christ, but it hasn't. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So Paul is a prisoner to no other person than to Jesus Christ himself, and he's a prisoner for no other reason than being in chains for the gospel. So this is really the perspective that Paul has as he is writing this letter to these Christians in Ephesus. And he knows that no matter where he is, God can and often does reveal himself. And I want to encourage you that no matter where you are this morning, God can and often does still reveal himself. There is nothing holding him back from revealing himself to you. So let's take a look at the beginning of Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Paul realizes that he's gone to prison for their sake, for the sake of the nations. And he says, verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration. What's he talking about here? We tend to think of administration as maybe, you know, the organization of a business. But here he is talking about it in this way. It means the management of household affairs. Stewardship. Sometimes we often talk about stewardship in the church. It's like managing your household resources. But this is something that God gave to Paul. And God was giving out of his own resources from his household and giving to Paul. And here Paul says, this is what God gave me. He gave me grace. What's grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. What's unmerited? It means he gives us something that we don't deserve. And so he says, surely you have heard what God has done. Surely you had to have heard the stories. I mean, you know, word on the street is what God has done in me. You know how I used to be. I was the guy that was out arresting Christians. I was the one who was overseeing the beating of Christians, the persecution of Christians. I was the one who stood there and gave approval as Stephen was stoned to death. I'm sure that you've heard about what God has done in me to transform me from the inside out. And then I'm sure you've heard how God has also revealed himself through me to touch other people's lives. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. See, what we are given can be given away. That's God's intention, is that whatever we would reveal, whatever he would reveal to us, that we would then reveal to those around us. And so Paul realized that this grace that was given to him was given to him for them. The gifts God gives can then be given and shared with others. And so what resource was Paul given? Namely, he was given a revelation. Oh, I get it. A revelation. Jesus revealed himself to Paul so that Paul would then reveal Jesus to others. Look at verse 3. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. The Gentiles, people from other nations, this is what you receive. How many of you are Gentiles? How many of you are from Jewish background? Anybody? So here he is saying that you Gentiles, you from other nations, this is what you receive. You are heirs together with the Lord. You have an inheritance, so don't worry about what you have right now. You are members together of one body. You're no longer alone. You're vitally connected now to the body of Christ. And then he says, you are sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. You know, all those promises made through Jesus, you know, the promise to never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, that's ours. The promise to lavish his love and his grace on us. That's ours. The promise that he will protect us. That's ours. All of these promises in Jesus are given to us, and now we can receive them for ourselves. And so let's talk about this mystery for a moment, because this is what we're really keying in on. Last week, Jeff shared with us a broad scope of what this mystery was all about, sharing from the Old Testament as well as the New about what they were expecting, what people were longing for, what they were looking for. So how many of you like a good mystery? Anybody like mystery novels or watching a mystery on TV? That's where we get our word, is from this Greek word, but it's got a little different meaning to it. The Greek word is mysterion, and Paul said he understood this mystery by way of revelation. Revelation is the word apokalypsin, where we get the word. Exactly. And so apokalypsin is an uncovering, and mysterion is this truth that has been covered. So there's a truth that has always been there, but it's been covered, and now God has lifted the veil. He now allows us to see what people have been longing to see. It's a truth that's been hidden by God and can only be unveiled by God. So in the Bible, a mystery is not something unknowable. Rather, it's what can only be known by revelation. It can only be understood as God reveals it. And so if you remember, it's why Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. After he outlined all these blessings that we have in him, in Christ, Paul kept on asking that they would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they might know him better. And so spiritual truth can only be understood by spiritual means. Let's read in your notes together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read this out loud together. I feel like my... Can you turn me down a bit? I feel like I'm really loud. Thank you. Right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read this out loud together. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. See, spiritual truth can only be fully understood as God reveals truth through His Spirit. There are college classes where they will read the Bible, and they'll try to get some understanding from it, but without the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and knowledge and revelation, you are not going to fully understand it or comprehend it or submit to it unless the Holy Spirit is thoroughly involved in you and you are filled with His presence. So spiritual truth can only be fully understood as God reveals truth through His Spirit. And everything that we need to know about God has been revealed through apostles and prophets, and ultimately through Jesus Christ. And what has been revealed about God was then written down over thousands of years. And we can only understand this revelation of God by God's Spirit filling us and giving us understanding. And so my encouragement to you that as you go to the Scriptures, that before you even open up the Bible and begin to read, pray. Pray that you would be given a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation that you might know him better. So Paul writes further about this mystery and how it was revealed to him. And so it goes on, it says, remember, God reveals himself to us and then chooses to reveal himself through us. There is always this progression. And so we get to share with others what God reveals to us. Verse 7. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. And although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me. Stop here for a second. Does it seem like Paul is stuck on himself at all? Is he enamored with his own gifts and abilities? No. And he obviously had incredible leadership abilities, incredible writing abilities, teaching abilities, but this was never Paul's focus. His focus was always on the power of God at work within him. It was not about his abilities. It was not about his strengths. It wasn't about his gifts. It was always about God's power at work in him. He would say at one point, that if I'm going to boast about anything, I'm just going to boast in my weaknesses because I want God to get the glory for whatever happens to me, in me, through me. I want God to get the glory. I'm just going to boast in my weaknesses. And so this is really great news for us who think and believe that there's really not much that we bring to the table regarding our own strengths, abilities, talents, gifts. And I don't know about you, but when I focus on my own limitations, whether they're perceived or actual, I have my focus on me and not on God's power working through me. See, this is God revealing himself through me to someone else, and it really isn't about me. God actually wants me to get to a point where I'm weak, and I'm like, I can't do this without you. And he's like, okay, now you understand. I want to work through you so that I am the only one who gets the glory. I'm the only one who gets the praise. There have been a number of times in my life when I've been down on myself for my own lack of a certain ability. And just in the past 2 weeks, the Lord has been saying, Johnny, it's not about your perceived or actual weaknesses or strengths. It's actually about me showing up. And so I've kept praying this past week, Lord, just show up. I mean, it sounds kind of strange. It's, you know, he's here, right? And so maybe it's more about me showing up and me being available to him and opening myself up to him. But I've been praying, God, will you just show up and manifest yourself to me and through me? If you remember the discussion that Paul was having with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, there is now a manifestation of the Spirit that is given to each one of us for the common good. And what he means by that is it's not about you having a talent or a gift or an ability. It's about the Holy Spirit showing up, manifesting himself through you to touch somebody else's life. How does this work? It could be that you know somebody is struggling and they call you up and they say, hey, can we get together and talk? And you might be thinking, wow, I don't know what to say. And that's great. That's actually a great place to be in. You then just start to pray, Lord, will you show up? And so maybe God gives you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, some kind of insight that only comes through him. And God appears in that conversation and shows up, and somebody, the person you're talking to, sees God, maybe for the first time, maybe just in a fresh and new way, but God revealing himself to you so that he can reveal himself through you. Paul continues. He says, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles, the nations, the boundless riches of Christ. Do you remember all the blessings he outlined in chapter 1? I mean, he talked about every spiritual blessing in Christ. He talked about holiness, blamelessness, adoption into his family, redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the riches of God's grace lavished on us. The riches of Jesus are boundless, and I get to preach. Announce, that's all it means. It's not, oh, I need to have a degree in order to preach. All you have to do is just announce what God is doing in you, through you. I get to preach to the nations the limitless riches found in Jesus, and we get to tell others the resources available to them in God. He says in verse 9, that this grace was given to him to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. So God is revealing himself, and this is the way he's chosen to do it. He is revealing himself to his gathered children to reveal himself to the world. We get to be a part of a local body of believers so that God would reveal himself to us, and we get to be a gathered family so that God would reveal himself through us to the world around us. And this is why God wants us in a faith family. He does not want us to live our life in Christ alone. I'm just going to live my life in Christ in my home. I'm going to watch TV, that kind of thing. He wants us to be a part of a family, and we get to live this out in this family. I mean, think about it. Is there any perfect family? No, right? Because it's full of imperfect people, right? Is there any perfect church? No, because it's full of imperfect people, right? So There is something about gathering together, even though we're imperfect, gathering together as this people of God, that God has chosen to reveal himself through us. God's intent and purpose was that now, through this gathered assembly of Jesus followers, his children, that the church would then make known his manifold wisdom to the, and this is wild, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Angels, demons, rulers, authorities, you know, all those that Paul listed in Ephesians chapter 6, the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms are being blasted with a revelation of God's glory, God's will, and God's plan. Because what he did in Christ Jesus was he revealed himself by lavishing his love on us and purchasing for himself a family, a church, a gathered people. And it's almost, you know what? This is a work that's already been done. God's already proclaimed his plan and revealed his mystery to the authorities in the heavenly realms because of what Jesus did. And yet, it's almost like it's just ongoing, because any time a sinner repents for the first time, giving their life to Jesus Christ, and any time a saint submits their life to Jesus Christ, it's almost this revealing again and again and again of God's plan to the authorities in heavenly realms. That's mind-boggling. Keep your finger in Ephesians there and just turn to 1 Peter for a moment. In your pew Bibles, it's 1887, 1 Peter chapter 1. Because Peter, he writes on this same theme about this mystery being hidden but now revealed in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you're in Ephesians, just turn right. I'm sorry, well, turn your pages left and go right. And so 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. I'm going to read 10 through 12. So Peter he writes, concerning this salvation, you know, talking about what Jesus provided for us, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, and this next line is so key, even angels long to look into these things. See, when we read the scriptures, there were times when angels, the literal meaning for angel is actually messenger, and so they would deliver a message from God to people. Now there is this reversal that it's almost as if the church is now revealing God's plan and his glory to angelic and demonic beings in the heavenly realms. See, there is no other way that God ultimately revealed himself than by Jesus Christ. For we read in Hebrews that in the past that God spoke to our forefathers at various times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And the Son, God's Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. See, we make this assumption that angelic and demonic beings always knew what God was doing, but even they longed to look for the fulfillment of God's plans. They longed to look and look for the revelation of God's mystery. beings in the heavenly realms were not the ones God chose to reveal himself. He chose to reveal himself through Jesus and through Jesus' body, the church. God still wants to reveal himself to us and through us. And one of the greatest truths that can be found about the revelation of God is found in verse 12, that in him and through faith in him, we may approach God. We may approach God. Do you understand how incredible that is? You can approach God without your face being fried off, right? I mean, God's glory is so intense and incredible. You may now approach God with freedom and confidence. In Jesus and by faith in Jesus, we may approach God. We can approach God. In the next 15 minutes, what I want to do is encourage you to draw close to God. This morning, we kind of used the message to set up worship. Will you use this time to kind of press in? Maybe you're here for the first time. You've never had that revelation of God, and maybe you can pray, Lord, will you just reveal yourself to me? As this body of believers gathers and sings and worships and prays and sings psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that you would reveal yourself to me for the first time. And maybe you're here this morning and you just need a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. Will you take this time just to press into him? James wrote, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Will you do that this morning? Continue to press into him.